Good morning, everyone. You know, before we go any further, I just want to say that those of you who might be watching, who have not in the past made it a habit of attending our services, you know, the sun's starting to come up. As Elijah said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Things are starting to go towards a time of normalcy, and you can feel it in the air that things are coming back. So I want to invite you. I want to invite you to visit us. You know, we're small in number, but our hearts are large. And if you want to go to our website, just remember four words, visit solidrockchurch.com. Visit solidrockchurch.com. You can read about, you know, our values and what we do here. But, you know, if you're watching, you kind of know that already. So let me just invite you. We love you. And we're so glad to have been able to maybe touch your lives, hopefully, in the name of Jesus. And just know that you're welcome, that you're more than welcome, and that our door is always open. It's not really open now, but I mean, so to speak, our door is always open. Well, you know, it's one of those things where this week I was going to speak on a different topic, and the Lord seemed to say, no, that's going to be for another time. And he seemed to say, you know, the sermon that you gave last week, which is on seeking God's face, that's kind of a milestone message for this church at this time. So, by the way, if you haven't seen that, go ahead and see it. So, you know, the message was called, well, before I say that, we have been doing a number of COVID-19 related messages. And we're actually continuing with that this week. But last week, we did a message called, Where's God in All This? And the answer that we gave was, well, he's knocking on the door of our hearts, wanting us to seek his face. That sounds like a fancy theological term, seek his face. But we kind of defined, we explained what that means. It comes from what happened back in the days of Moses, when he was leading the people of Israel through the desert, when God used to meet with him in the tent of meeting, come down in the pillar of cloud and fire, and it says he would speak face to face with Moses like a man speaks to his friend, the word face to face. And then Joshua, who was his assistant, he thought to himself, I want some of that. You know, Moses speaking to God face to face. I want some of that. And so when Moses would leave the tent of meeting, Joshua would just go to that tent of meeting, and he wouldn't leave the tent of meeting because he wanted to talk to God. And at first, of course, God didn't really talk to him. But then eventually, when the time was right, God did speak to Joshua. Now, that was then. That's the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, that was the idea of seeking God's face. But in the New Testament, now that Jesus has come to us, Jesus is God in human skin. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Son of God. He says, now here's what we're going to do now is I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and I'm knocking on the door of your heart, and if you'll let me in, then we'll have a sit-down dinner. We'll have the old fellowship meal, and that'll be the equivalent of that face-to-face like a man speaks to his friend. That'll be the equivalent of that. And so, you know, I'm giving you all that background because the title of this message is called The End of My Rope. The End of My Rope. So let's go ahead and pray before we start our message. Join me in a word of prayer, please. Lord, I know that many of us have felt and maybe feel right now like we're at the end of our rope, and you want to come to us, especially at that time, at this time. So help this message to be from you. Speak through me, Lord, especially to those who especially need it. Glorify yourself that people would come away knowing they are loved, that you love them, that you're for them, and that everything's going to be all right. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's start by talking about that phrase, end of my rope. So if you go on the internet, you'll see that end of my rope is an idiom. Do you have any we have education people here. An idiom. An idiom means that it's a phrase that's well known in the culture, but it has a meaning in the culture that you don't get from the phrase. It's not easily understood by the phrase itself. If you say to somebody, end of my rope, well, we in our culture, we kind of know what that means. But if you were to say that to somebody else, not in our culture, they'd say, well, I have no idea what you mean. That's called an idiom, a culturally understood phrase that's not apparent in the phrase. So there you go. There's a little bit of it. It's called an idiom, not an idiot, an idiom. I didn't call that today. So it's very interesting, that phrase. It actually comes from England in the 1600s. It comes from the phrase, end of my tether. Or if you're British, with the end of my tether, right? And the idea of it was that if you had a sheep, okay, and you had a farm, and you left it to graze, but you kept it on a rope. So here's your sheep. You keep it on a rope. And the sheep is eating all the grass that it can reach within the circumference of that rope. Okay? But then you've left that sheep to graze, and it has eaten all the grass that was available to him. And now the sheep begins to panic because he's used up all of his resources. He's done all he can do, and he's at the end of his rope. Everybody following me? He's at the end of his rope. So now he needs to be fed directly. The farmer knows if that sheep is at the end of his rope, and of course you want to keep him within the, you don't want him going off, you want to keep him, then now you're going to have to come in and feed the sheep directly because he's used up all his resources. He's used up everything he's got. He's at the end of his rope. Now, you know, you're going to have to go ahead and feed him directly. Do you see where I'm going with this? Okay, Carl, you see where I'm going? You do. Okay. So as Christians, we always need to seek his face, which is to say, what I mean, seek that back, that two-way, you know, friend-to-friend relationship because it feeds us directly. When we're at the end of our rope. So this is my office where I work. And right now, it's a retirement community. I'm a chaplain at a retirement community. There's 1,200 residents, 10 buildings. And the orders are, I mean, not just, it's the state of Michigan, the country, is that everybody has to stay in their residence. So the staff has to feed them all their meals, deliver all their mail, all their medications, everything. And they're not able to see their families or their grown children or anyone or each other. And so one of the things I'm doing right now is there's a list of residents whose spouses had passed away during this situation. And so I'm calling them. I, you know, a ways back, begun to call them to see how they're holding up, because now, on top of all of that, they're alone. Completely alone. And not just alone. They're in grief. Completely alone. Isolated completely. And so I'm calling people, and you know, some are doing better than others, but there was this one particular lady. And I spoke to her, it was like last week, and I said, so how are you holding up? And she had lost her husband after, of course, many, many years. And I said, I'm at the end of my rope. I keep thinking of that Kenny Rogers song. I thought, Kenny Rogers, she started singing it. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. 4 hungry children crop in the field. This time the hurting won't heal. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, in the middle of a pandemic, right? My heart's breaking as I'm hearing her. She's crying. She's crying on the phone. And so in those moments, I used to pray and say, Lord, what am I going to say? So the first thing the Lord says is, say that there's nothing you can say. That will help. I said to her, I'm not going to tell you her name. I know that, there's nothing I can say that's going to matter right now because I haven't gone through what you're going through. And, but, you're not alone because I'm here. We're here. We care. I'm doing the very best I can. And eventually, I do get on my soapbox a little bit. Now I say, you know that I'm the chaplain and you know my faith. And she said, well, I'm a Christian. Now, my perception is that she was more of a traditional Christian in the sense of she's from, she's the so-called greatest generation where people understood that they were supposed to, she understood the saying the Lord's Prayer and asking for prayer requests and going to church and doing one's best to be a, quote, God-fearing individual and do the right thing and be a contribution to society. It's she was the salt of the earth kinds of folks that built this nation, okay? And so I'm not putting that down. I have tremendous respect. And yet I knew that in my heart, it seemed like God was saying, well, you need help her go to the next level now because she needs to be at the next level. And it's what you talked about last Sunday. That's what it is. It's seeking his faith. I said, Jesus said he's knocking on the door and he wants you, yeah. He wants to come in and he wants to sit down. I mean, it's kind of a two-way thing. And, it's not some super spiritual thing. Really, you just, you pray like you always do, but then just quiet your soul and listen. And just if you don't sense him speaking something back to your heart, then just be in his, enjoy his presence. Get used to being in God's presence because, you really need, especially, we all need that, but, really, you just need to. So then, Friday, May 1st, I check back with her. She answers the phone. So, Dominic, she said, Dominic, I have to tell you. I am so happy. I thought, oh. I have to tell you. And this is what she told me. Now, I got permission to share this with you. Because I believe that when I asked her if I could share it, she was even happier. So this is what happened. She's trying a few times to seek the face of God. And something came into her mind that she knew was just not where her mind would go. And here's what it was. When her husband was still alive and he was actually flipping through his Bible, and he had read his Bible once in a while, she was walking by, and she noticed that the Bible was open on their coffee table, and that he had put a star and a circle around the star and underlined a certain passage, which was not like him. He'd never wrote in his Bible. But she saw it and thought nothing of it and walked by. And so now, suddenly, now, after he's passed away, this comes back into her mind. She's thinking, okay, God, are you trying to say something? So she stops, she goes and she finds his Bible. And this is a quote. She said, I started on page 1 because I've got nothing else to do. And I started turning those pages. I'm going to find, if God's trying to talk to me, I'm going to find that circled star. So she kept turning and turning. And finally she gets to the Gospel of John in the New Testament and she found it. She said, that's it. And it was the only thing in the whole Bible that had this. And so, Ryan, I want to go ahead and, she said, go ahead and put the next thing. She said, Dominic, I want to tell you the scripture leading up to it. And then I'll tell you what was underlined. She said, and I said, please do. And she had it. She's going to get it. She had it. She says, here's what it says. She says, this is John 16, verse 21. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain. Because her hour has come, but when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. And then she says, and then this is the part he underlined, and this is the part that had the star. Listen, Dominic, listen. I'm listening. Then she almost shouted it at me in the phone. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again. and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. And she said, Dominic, I screamed, I laughed, I cried, I jumped, I pranced around, I couldn't stop thanking God. And I'm crying up near my office. I'm saying, hallelujah, I'm praising God. We're having a praise fest between two of us in this, you know, deserted hallways, deserted everything. And I'm shouting, she's shouting everything. She's saying, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And you know what? I know it's going to be hard, but he's with me. And I'm going to be all right. So she was at the end of her rope. She decided to, quote, seek his face. And Jesus gave her a word that fed her directly and changed everything. It is Satan who brings us desperation at the end of our rope. But Jesus' reply to Satan at his, Jesus' temptation in the Gospels, is Jesus' word to us about just how important it is to seek his face. So let's talk about the temptation of Jesus by Satan in the wilderness. I believe with all my heart that this happened not just so that it could happen, so that the original temptation of Adam and Eve, the first people that God created, that temptation which they failed to test, could be reversed. So there's like a theological meaning there. So the second temptation, Jesus passed the test on our behalf. Okay, it didn't just happen for that reason, but it happened as an example to us and as a way for Jesus to speak to us what we're about to read. So this is kind of the first thing. Now think about this. This is right at the beginning of his ministry, and it's kind of the first thing he, quote, speaks to us as Christians. What we're about to read. The first thing. Watch this. This is Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus is saying, as important as food is to you and I to live, to eat, that's how important a word from God is to us. That's what he's saying. And that's the first thing he says. Why? Because everything else that's going to happen in the Gospels after this is words. Jesus is the Word of God. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Word of God is like a contract. It is immutable. It is built into the fabric of the universe. And if we don't get this, we got nothing. The bottom line is we all need a word from God to feed us directly, whether we're at the end of our rope or not. And we receive that word only when we seek his face. I got to say that again, because you know what? We could go home right now, but we're not going to go home right now. But we could. The bottom line is we all need a word from God, a faith, you know, something where God's not just us talking, but he speaks back to our hearts, a picture of a man with a Bible open and a star circled to speak to you when you need it the most. We all need a word from God, whether we're at the end of our rope or not, to feed us directly. And we receive that word only when we seek his face You know, when they were asking Jesus about in a Sermon on the Mount, which is the first part of the New Testament, where Jesus gives us what I call the constitution of the kingdom of God, you know, he doesn't say, if you go to pray, don't use repeated words, but go into your prayer closet and God will reward you. He says, when you pray, don't repeat words like the heathen do. You go into your prayer closet and in secret, and God who's in secret will reward you. What's the reward? The reward is a picture in your mind of a man with a Bible open, and there's the star when you need it the most. That's the reward. There was no amount of money you could have given that lady that would have been more valuable than what she received by seeking God's face. It's just like my friend, and now she is my friend, where I work. You know, when I said to her, do I have your permission to share this? You know, I'm going to be doing an online this Sunday, and do I have, she said, oh, yes, please do. Please do. So that was my little gentle admonition when I didn't know what else to say, of encouraging one person to seek his face, quote unquote. But with that in mind, let's again talk about Jesus' call for his entire church, and by that I mean all of the Christians alive right now, to seek his face that we mentioned last week in the book of Revelation, because I believe I have something else to give you about that, okay, that God has given me for you. So the background for those of you who weren't with us last week is that, you know, Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God and God the Son. He was the fulfillment of the promise throughout the whole Testament to send a Savior, to save us from our sins. Because when we got that natural selfishness in our hearts, we became separated from God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die as our substitute, to take the punishment that we deserve for our sins, for our separation, for our selfishness. So that now whoever believes in him, believes in Jesus, wouldn't perish, wouldn't die in the day of judgment, but would have eternal life. That just as Jesus came back from the grave on the third day, that we also would come back from the grave on the third day and live forever with him in heaven. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. They that believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live, and I will raise them up on the last day. So Jesus Christ, he lived, he raised the dead, healed the sick, loved the unlovable, taught us how to live. He was the pure and spotless Lamb. He had 12 disciples. He died on the cross. He came back to life on the third day, and then he gave his disciples an assignment. Go and preach the good news. Tell the good news about me to the whole world. One by one, his disciples were hated and martyred and killed. The last one left was John, the youngest of his original 12 disciples. And John had been exiled by the Romans on a barren island in the Mediterranean called Patmos. And Jesus, in his resurrected glory, appeared to John and gave us, through John, the last word. It's called the Book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And so he starts the Book of Revelation, he, Jesus, by sending a message to seven churches. And in that message, he starts out in the first church by saying, you know, I see what you're doing, and it's a mixed bag. There's good news and bad news. One thing that's bad is you've lost your first love. And at the end, the last church is called Laodicea. And in the last church, called Laodicea, he kind of answers that problem of losing your first love. We've just been talking about it. He says, you know, you all have gotten lukewarm on me. And you know, you're not hot and you're not cold. And I wish that you were, because the stakes are so high. And, you know, and he's basically saying, you need to have passion about this. Those whom I love, I rebuke and chasten, so be zealous and repent. But Jesus is so good to us. He doesn't just say, do something. He says, now here's how you're going to do that. You won't have to come to the tent of meeting. You won't have to go to the tent of meeting, and you won't even have to go, because I'm going to come to you. I'm going to knock on your door. I'm knocking on your door. I'm coming to you. See how much he loves you, us, me, all of us? I'm coming to you. And if you'll just let me in, then you'll get zeal. You'll get passion. Why? Because we'll talk. I'll share my heart. You share your heart. And trust me, you have my Holy Spirit in you. And when you interact with me, you'll begin to love what I love and have passion for what I have passion. And it'll be fine. You won't have to worry about ginning up any kind of zeal. It's already inside of you. You just have to let me bring it out of you by letting me in to your prayer closet and seeking my face. Let's read it. Revelation 3:20. Behold, this is Jesus speaking. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. One more time. In that culture, that's what you said to somebody when you wanted to be their friend. It's called the fellowship meal. In fact, in the Old Testament sacrifice system, when it was a grain offering, you ever wonder about that? So you probably get the idea of the animals that had to be sacrificed, but they were grain offerings. Do you know what the grain offerings? They were fellowship offerings. They were to atone for the fact that you don't want to seek his fellowship. And so you'd give a grain offering. That's what the idea was. That's called a fellowship offering. So Jesus is saying, you know, I've already taken care of that. I fulfilled all of that. And so, you know, you let me in, and we'll have a heart to heart. You sit down and you just, you can tell me your requests, but then just listen and I'll whisper to you. And you'll never be the same. So here's what I believe I'm supposed to say that kind of adds to what I said last week. Notice that Jesus' call for us to seek his face is the last word given to the last church in the book of Revelation before the last 7 years that are about to begin, which is the rest of that book. You notice that? Could it be that Jesus knew ahead of time that his last church, just before the last 7 years, would find itself at the end of its rope, needing to seek his face so that he could feed them more directly? Now, I believe that's God's word to us as a church. I believe that's God's word to the American church. And I believe he's going to do for us what he did for my friend. And we'll be all right. So perhaps the real title of this sermon should be The End of Our Rope. So if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here today and you might say, well, you know, I don't even know if I'm really walking with him. You know, yeah, I understand the Lord's Prayer and I understand giving requests to God. But Dominic, what you're talking about, I'm not sure that seems a little bit lofty to me. Well, right? Huh? He's saying, if you're listening to my voice, I don't believe it's an accident. He's saying, you know what? It's really time to step up to the next level. And I've already provided for you to do that. If you believe in me, you know, my Holy Spirit is inside of you. So some of you who've never really received Jesus Christ, because that's what the Bible says, whoever receives him, he makes them children of God. We're going to take care of that problem first, right now. Do what I did years ago. I say, Jesus, just pray this with me. Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Son of God, that you came and died on the cross to take the punishment that I deserve for my sins, past, present, and future. I believe that you rose from death on the third day to conquer death so that I would live forever with you, starting now. So come into my heart, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit. Live your life through me, and I will do my best with your help to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. Now for amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, then the Bible says by the authority of the Word of God that you are a child of God. And now for some of you others who are thinking, well, you know, I believe I'm a Christian, but I need to go where you're saying I need to go. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come on. I don't know what it means to seek your face. That's not how I have done it in the past. But now I believe it is time. So in a fresh way, by your Spirit, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and open my eyes. Help me to spend regular time, once a day at least, with you, and to walk with you. Help me to understand what it means to seek your face. Make that real to me, and I will wait for you. And I'll stay in the tent of meeting until I hear your voice. It can be an impression. It can be in the rustling grass I hear him pass, like the song we just heard on the piano. It can be an actual dream or vision or word. Or it can just be an unction, a prompting. It can be any number of things. But Lord, please let it be something that when I follow up on it, I know that it was you. Because man does not live. I do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, especially when I've done all I can do and I've used up all the grass around me. And I'm at the end of my rope. And if somebody doesn't feed me, I'm going to die. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for bringing me to this point. Thank you for the future that you have for me and for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.